Hi, I'm Dr. Henry Black. I'm a clinical professor of internal medicine at the New York University School of Medicine and a former president of the American Society of Hypertension. I'm here today with my friend and colleague, Dr. Michael Weber. Michael, what's ACRE?
ACRE is an acronym, stands for the Association of Clinical Researchers and Educators. It's basically a group of academic physicians of all disciplines, physicians, surgeons, people in cancer, people in cardiovascular disease, right across the board, who understand the importance of collaboration between the academic world, the clinical world, and the industries that give us our drugs, our devices, and our diagnostic tests.
Why do we need such an organization?
Well, Henry, I think you know quite well, we all do, that those of us who are in academic medicine and who have worked with industry of one sort or another are now coming under a certain measure of criticism. People seem to believe that simply because we do research projects, educational activities, things with our colleagues in industry, that there might be something that's not quite right. There doesn't seem to be an understanding of the win-win concept, that if industry develops a new device or a better drug, and we do research and help to establish how it should be used or where it should be used, or perhaps not, that it shouldn't ever be used. It can go in all sorts of directions. People don't understand that that is a vital and critical part of developing new therapies for people who need better treatment.
But ACRE says educators. What's the educator part of this?
Well, a lot of us get involved with continuing medical education that often is supported by industry, not always. Some of us get involved with more direct educational activities that might be supported by a pharmaceutical company or a device company, where under their support we might go to a hospital or to a group of colleagues and discuss a product or a new idea that we believe is important for progress in medicine, but at the same time is using a product that is in the interest of a particular manufacturer.
But don't we have to disclose our relationships?
We absolutely do, and it's obvious whenever we do this that this or that company has sponsored our meeting, that they are the ones who brought us together. That's always been out there, Henry, and I've never understood why people would have any difficulty with it. And the truth is, most people don't have difficulty with it. But we are under pressure, and I think the pressure comes from the people who think that as new developments come along, better treatments for cancer, better treatments for hypertension or cholesterol problems or diabetes, that it's going to be more expensive. And so people in the health insurance industry, for instance, people even in some of the governmental agencies worry that if too much important new information comes to doctors and then goes on to their patients, that it could have an effect on the cost of medicine. I understand their concern.
Now, if we're not doing programs like this, because nobody's sponsoring them, where is the doctor who's in practice going to get this information?
Well, that is a very dismal scenario, because in all likelihood, they would finish up getting this information from the people who are paying for health care, and they would be given a very rationed, very limited amount of information in the hope that they will not too quickly take up new ideas or new approaches to treating disease.
Isn't it more important that we improve outcomes than how much the initial cost actually
Henry,
is?
Henry, this is all about patients, isn't it? It's all about how do we make people live longer and live better. Both of those are the key criteria that drive us as physicians. And anyone who gives us the tools to get that job done, as far as I'm concerned, is a valued ally.
Where would we be without new drugs in our business in cardiovascular disease or in cancer,
Henry,
or diabetes without new drugs?
You know, you and I have been practicing medicine for roughly the same amount of time, which is a fairly long period of time. Since we started as young doctors, the life expectancy of the average American has increased by about 10 years. And the main part of that increase in life expectancy are the very things we've been working on. Better ways of treating high blood pressure, better ways of dealing with coronary disease, better approaches to cancer. Why this should come under criticism is hard to understand, except that it does cost more. And when you keep someone alive 10 years longer, that's not a cheap proposition. That's 10 more years of health care that Medicare or other insurers have to deal with.
as far as I know, we're all going to die of something. And if we live 10 years without being sick and then have 6 months where we have to deal with something that was could have been prevented, that's going to be expensive. Now, what have you done with ACRE? And a bunch of us have helped you, but you've been the main engine for this.
Well, what we decided we should do, Henry, just to put things out on the table, we wrote a set of guidelines, a statement, basically looking at all the things that doctors could do when they work with industry, whether it's consulting, whether it's doing research, whether it's being involved in publications, all the different things, supportive meetings for doctors and so forth. We said, let's put out a discussion of all of this with recommendations on how people like you and me and all of our academic colleagues should be reacting with industry. What is ethical? What is proper? What is going to get the best results for our patients? And what should we not do that could be misconstrued or misinterpreted or perhaps not be in everyone's best interest?
What are the highlights?
The highlights are basically what you've already brought up, that we should be transparent about what we do. We should also be very protective of our primacy as physicians, particularly academics, in running the research enterprise, that when a new discovery is made, it's people like you and me who do not have a direct financial interest in a commercial outcome who explain the new data to the practicing community, that when we write papers, they really should be our papers. When things appear in the medical literature and guide practice, it shouldn't be written by some commercial entity, it's you and me. When we've got our names on that paper, we are responsible. These are the sorts of things we
talk
about.
I was always amused by the financial constraints, because to some people, $10 is a lot of money, and to other people, $1 million is not. So to put financial issues on that is unrealistic.
No, we have some crazy rules going around where exactly what you say, if you buy someone a sandwich and it costs more than $10, that in some way is going to distort their judgment, and you're quite right. Doctors, meanwhile, then go back to the office, make decisions worth tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars, actually make decisions about people's lives. That's fine. But $10, no, we can't deal with that.
How can people get a hold of these guidelines?
They have been published in a journal called Endocrine Practice. It is the official journal of the American Association of Clinical Endocrinologists. We went to this journal because two or three of the people on our writing committee at ACRE happened to be endocrinologists, and they asked if we could use their journal. It is already online, this article on endocrine practice, and will soon be out in its printed version, simply called the ACRE Guidelines.
Just have one final question to ask you. This week, or maybe it was last week, the Circuit Court in New York decided that a representative of industry could say whatever he or she wished, that it was a free speech issue. I've always thought, and I think you agree with this, it's going to eventually come down to that. What's your opinion of that?
Well, I think it was a good decision and a heartening decision. That said, it doesn't mean that people can go around, whether you're a representative of a company or even guys like you and me, and say things that are irresponsible. We can say things that are off-label if they're well supported by credible research, if it's a sincere belief of ours. If people go around making extravagant claims for drugs or devices that are just not supported by evidence, then they may be misleading people out in the community and hurting them. So the ultimate obligation to be absolutely honest and rigorous, that has not changed.
I wish the same thing applied to nutraceutical companies and to people who have strange and weird diets. There seems to be no regulation of that, and the public seems to eat that stuff up.
Sadly, they do, and I think we need to work hard to make sure that people understand where the real treatments and the real value is coming from.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Henry.